Glad to be with you this morning and to worship together. These songs that we've sung about hope of the nations, all the nations. And when Mike suggested that I wear a tie today, I got out my nation's tie. You can come and find your favorite on here. But just as we were worshiping again, I thought that hymn, how great, grow, 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 I think that God is Son, not sparing. And then all the way on, when Christ shall come. That's the pinnacle. And that the end of time is coming. Amen? That there's a plan that is unfolding here. And this hymn writer captured it, I think, just right. Creation, as marvelous as it was second even to this marvelous work of salvation and recreation in us. Saving sinners. People who don't deserve it. Saving us, and then looking forward to a future together. And I'd like to look forward together with you this morning in all that we're talking about in missions, that we keep that end goal in sight. The Lord is coming again. He's going to fix this broken world, set everything to right. And that's the journey that we're on together. And we're in this context. The Lord has put us right here in the 21st century. And many of us right here in London and Byron, right local here. But this week, and this morning in particular, we want to also lift our eyes and see the world around us. And so that's my goal this morning, is to put all of this in some context, to remind us of some things probably that we already know, maybe to bring us up to date, and to stir our hearts again on what God is doing on a global scale. Just very quickly, Patrick, thanks for introducing my family. Unfortunately, I'm here by myself this morning, but I want to introduce my family. This is my wife, Kathleen. Patrick mentioned we met at Briarcrest, and it was through a missions experience, actually, that we met. She was very interested in missions, and I was still learning to spell missions, so to speak. And she was going to the Philippines, so I thought, well, that sounds like a good idea. It wasn't that simple, but the Lord has blessed us together. With these now 22 years, and bless us with three kids. I have two growing sons. I don't think I'm old enough for this yet, but Jonathan is in college. He's a freshman at Heritage this year, and Tim is in grade 10. We were just at the Act Like Men. Was anyone here at the Act Like Men conference? Men's retreat a couple of weeks ago in Hamilton. And then we also have a daughter. Anna is 9 now in fourth grade. The Lord has been very good to us. And as Patrick also mentioned, some of our time was spent here. And often, if the introduction hadn't been already given, I would ask, what country does this make you think of? What would you have said? Russia, right? Russia. And for a number of years, we were living in this country. Wonderful country. In Ukraine first, and then in Russia. This is, of course, Red Square in Moscow. And it was our privilege to serve in the former Soviet Union in some of those transitional years. We were there from 96 through to 2003. And so that window of transition, a lot of the change had taken place, but the wrestling was continuing. It was a real blessing to be there. And before we really get going, I want to say thank you to you as a church. I've had an opportunity to look through this flyer that Mike mentioned, for all the missionaries that you are supporting as a church. And I want to say, way to go. Way to go. There are local ministries here. You're reaching out right here in London. A number of them that are close by here. And so you have, if I could say, following the verse, we are to reach out, we are to be God's witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And in this modern world, we say Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem is right here. It's Byron. It's London. And Judea and Samaria is Ontario and Canada and North America, perhaps, and the very ends of the earth. And all are represented here. Well done. And I just encourage you to keep wrestling on what it means to be a church that does effective ministry right here, but also has your eyes up. I had a chance to meet with the missions committee, actually, in anticipation of today. And just to visit over a bit of this, I want to say way to go. And I want to say a big thank you, especially even after that introduction, for a couple of special friends. Of course, Patrick and Marianne serve with Send Canada, your representatives, on this side of the ocean, but helping to get the word out to that side of the oceans, if I could say it that way. Patrick serves as a director of personnel, and Marianne is helping with a variety of things, including short-term missions. And we so appreciate that you have sent them as some of your workers to help get the good news out and around the gospel, out and around the world. I did want to encourage Patrick's heart. You know, he moved here a few years ago. Do you remember where he moved from? Winterpeg, right. And so, Patrick, I just wanted to encourage your heart because I checked the report for Winnipeg. And this is literally this morning here. This is this morning. So I wanted just to let you know, I mean, look outside, guy. It is snowing in Winnipeg. Do praise the Lord. Patrick is a loyal, faithful colleague that I trust. He takes great care of people. And I believe that we've found a slot for him where he is honoring the Lord and honoring you with the gifts. And so I just thank you for sending him to us. Just another little coincidence here, but this picture was taken actually in Kiev. Yeah. A couple of years ago, you might remember that they were in Kiev. And here, it's very difficult to see, but the address, or a date rather, is here. 10/20/2011. That was taken 2 years ago today in Kiev, Ukraine. Isn't that interesting? So we praise the Lord for Kavanaugh's. We do have a larger team. This is the team that works together in the home office there. And I would just want to say generally, when it comes to global missions, if we could ever be of assistance, of service to you, then we would welcome your call to us. I always like to say it doesn't need to be about missions with Send. That's really important. We are trying to get the good news of the gospel to the world, and it's far bigger than any one agency could ever do. And so if we could just be helpful along any way together with you, we would be delighted there. If you asked, what's the heartbeat of Send, this is it. And I'm going to move off Send in just a minute, but this is what we are about, church planting among the unreached. That's the core of our business, and we use three words to guide us in that. The first is mobilize. We want to mobilize God's people. Help get them ready to engage in this big task. And we help mobilize people who will go. This is a young couple from Cambridge, Ontario, the Brubakers, and they live in Siberia, actually very close to where our family did. They have two little boys, just like our family did then, too. Dave and Tina are an example of what we call goers, the people who will lay down their lives here and take up their lives in another culture in order to share God's word there, God's truth in some way. They will go. But we don't want to mobilize only goers. We also want to mobilize senders. If we think about the people who will go and the people who will stand behind them as prayers and givers, sometimes financial giving, all of those things in order that they go, we have goers and senders. Let me ask you this question. Goers and senders, if we want to see the Great Commission finished, which is more important, the goer or the sender? Yeah, you're right. So some people say, well, you know, Max, I'm really not into global missions. And they're thinking, I'm not a goer. But let me submit to you, dear church, my dear friends, that there is a role for each of us to play, for each church and every Christ follower to play in getting the word out, the good news out, whether we are a goer or perhaps we will not be a goer, but we'll be a sender. In other words, I want this to be relevant to everyone here this morning as we pursue this. So we want to mobilize. We want to engage the unreached. This is a photo taken in Asia where I had an opportunity to visit, and a form of idolatry that I haven't often seen in Canada, where there were physical statues, idols, that people would bow down to, that they would touch, they would kiss. They would pull coins from their pockets and throw it into the altar, and it's made of wooden rails so that it intentionally jingles And the belief is that when those coins land and jingle, they make noise, and that draws attention. The gods will hear that and then pay attention to whoever threw the money in. And many of them have never heard of Jesus. They have never heard that hymn, "When I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in." So send is about engaging unreached peoples. All of this toward a goal. We use the word establish. We would like to see God's church established among the unreached. Frankly, it won't be a church that looks like Byron Community Church. It may be like this, with a steeple on top and a cross. But what we mean is communities of Christ followers who will gather together to worship the one true God, who will study his truth, and who will share it with others. They will reproduce that. That's the vision of this organization. We did put a bit of literature out on the table there. I'll just tell you quick what you would find there. We have what I call the Little White Book of Send. I can't click and hold at the same time. There we go. Little White Book Send that is out there and gives you a quick overview of what this organization does and where. This is one of my favorites here. This is a bookmark, actually. It's about this, about this, about this, about this, about this. And it's how to pray for your missionaries. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, there's a prayer. For each day of the week. And it doesn't have to be, of course, praying for a send missionary, right? Anyone who's serving, and if you flip it over, it's praying his children, the kids who live out on the mission field. Take one of these and tuck it in your Bible and pray for missionaries. Put it right with this one here, Byron Community Church, and keep them together. Would you be great senders that way and pray for your missions team that's out and about? And finally, this last one is global mission opportunities together with SEND. We have a variety of opportunities, of course, and we'd be delighted to prayerfully consider that with you. I always like to say there are no strings attached to the conversations with SEND, so we don't want you to feel you're stuck or committed if you just ask a question. It's okay. In fact, the table this morning will be self-serve. Nobody will be there. There will not be a missions rep there to say, "I gotcha." Don't need to be afraid. Please go by. I do like to show this because summer missions had a big impact in my life. Summer mission trips can turn your world upside down. In my case, it did. This is an actual photograph of one of our short-term missionaries, wakeboarding ministry. You think that brought the youth out? Come, try that. It was a marvelous outreach there. And I just mean plant that idea. Perhaps there will be some goers here. Would you raise up some more goers from this church? Would you pray that your families, your young people, maybe even not so young people, would also be goers? It's a courageous prayer. We're praying that the Lord would continue to raise up workers from Canada. Last thing, we, of course, invite you to stop by the website. It's send.org, and then if you add /Canada, then it's especially the material that we're preparing from Canada. I have a weekly blog there, and there are different things you can find. We hope that it would be a helpful service to you, to your missions committee. We are aiming to serve the church, and if there are ways that we can do that more effectively, we'd be glad to hear the creative ideas from you, too. All right. Enough about, you kind of have a sketch. All right. When I met together with the missions committee just a few weeks ago, we talked about what this morning might look like. And I said, you know, in Russia, when we are preaching in Russia, you can preach for 2 hours. What do you think? You think, go for 2 hours? Stretching out in the back already. I see. We're not going to go for 2 hours. But we did talk about what would be helpful this morning. You have a number of missionaries, and I'm going to include some missionary stories along the way, but we agreed that it might be helpful to talk about some missions trends, things that are a reality in the world today and would stir our hearts to pray. We're going to pray together in a few minutes, and that you would come away from this morning, this is my goal, that you would come away this morning better informed as God's people and that then you can apply it into your mission strategy right here at this church. So that's my goal. I've chosen five trends to talk about briefly and just how they are affecting missions in different ways. So, are you set? All right, trend number one is technology. How many of you 10 years ago had a cell phone? A few. How many of you have cell phones now? Many more. Technology is advancing and it's helpful to us, right? In missions, technology is helpful. It helps translate more efficiently. Computers can do marvelous things now, and it helps translate where near languages are able to make more progress more quickly. Communications would be one of the primary ways. If you've got a missionary serving overseas, have you ever talked to a missionary on Skype? Anybody talk to a missionary on Skype? Well, we need to get more of you talking to missionaries on Skype. But costs how much to talk on? Nothing. We do have to pay for the internet connection, but aside of that, it's free to talk to a missionary. Can I just plant this idea? If you've got kids or grandkids, get them into a conversation with a missionary on the other side of the world. Open an atlas or Google Earth. Show them, and have that young person actually talk to them. Technology is a great pro. It also comes with cons. I'll tell you frankly, and we're not unaware of it here, that there's a lot of garbage on the internet. Pornography devastates families and marriages and lives, and it does that to missions too. Would you pray that we as a missions community would wisely use technology, and that we would also be protected from dangerous things? So technology is trend number one. Trend number two, mercy and justice ministries. There is a great swell of interest that we celebrate in mercy and justice ministries and social welfare, which we want to say praise the Lord for. Organizations like International Justice Mission and Compassion, wonderful ministries that are making a huge impact in the world. And we would like to say, in addition to the positive side of this trend, that we also make sure to go all the way, so to speak, with the gospel and not just stop at doing social good, not just stop at helping people develop their economies or their life, but moving through that while we do that to the spiritual truth that Jesus saves. Because even people who have a robust economy and who are now able to feed their families still need to hear the gospel. And so we want to say praise the Lord for this, and let's keep bringing it through right to its end point. Do you get it? Yeah. All right. Trend number three, migration. And this is a picture of the boat with 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 the to cross a body of water, hoping against hope that they might arrive safe on the other side. People in this world are moving and are able to move, and here I'm going to divide this just quickly to urbanization and diasporas. Trends that are affecting missions. Urbanization is the general movement of the population of the world from the country to cities. Now, more than half the world's population lives in cities. Now, these bars all came up. I thought they would come up gradually, but here they jump on me. In 1950, if you see down here, 1950, these here, these are the different cities represented over here. So New York, New Tokyo, Sao Paulo, Mexico City, Mumbai, Delhi, and Dhaka. Dhaka is the capital city of Bangladesh. In 1950, only one of those cities, New York, was over 10 million people. In the year 2000, you can see how there's tremendous growth. This is Tokyo that grew up over 25. But look at this growth here. And in 2015, now just 2015, it's 2013, we're only less than a year and a half away from 2015, it's estimated that most of those countries will be over 20 million people. Mega, mega cities. People moving from the country for two primary reasons. One is for education, and the other is for work, employment. There's education and there are jobs in cities. And as missions, and as our effort in global missions, we need to be aware of this. Where can we go to reach the people? SEND has a strategy, particularly in China, not to go out to the furthest places. There are places that need the gospel that are hidden way far, and I'm thinking especially in Western China here, where you go to a city, then you take a train to the end of the road, then you get on a bus, then you take the bus to the end of its line, then you take whatever car you can to the end of that road, and then you walk for a day or two to get to these places. But people are coming from these places all the way to the cities to study and to find work. And so we are prayerfully trying to build effective strategies to meet them in the cities. And then what's happening? Some of them are being saved. They hear the good news. And where do they go back to? They go back to their homes. And they take the good news with them there. So we need to be effective in reaching the cities. And here's where I would say we as Westerners can understand what cities are like. We live in London, which is a city of 350,000, perhaps, all of us put together. So we know what it's like to live in a city, and that's going to be important. Each of you are equipped to go to some of these places because you know what a city means, what it means to live in that environment. The other thing I'd mention is many of you speak English. Do some of you speak English? Yeah, a few. It creates opportunity. Because many of these places in the education process are hoping to improve their English and the English of their children and their grandchildren, and we have a natural connection to make. The other thing that I mentioned, urbanization, moving to the city, as far as people moving, is diaspora ministries. This is a slide from a presentation last week that I did celebrating our Chinese diaspora ministries. A few years ago, SEND Canada had a missionary who was serving in China. And at that time, in that area, it was one of the areas of China where you could not expressly say that you were a Christ follower. You may have heard that you can be an open Christian in China. That's true. You may have heard that you have to be a secret Christian in China. Have to be. There are many secret Christians in China. That's true. You may have heard that there is persecution of Christians in China. That's true. You may have heard that there's great opportunity for Christians in China. That's true. Just about everything you've heard about China is true somewhere in China. 1.3 billion people, incredible complexity in this country. It is enormous and wonderful opportunity there. I'll get back off my rabbit trail, back to where I meant. SEND Canada had a missionary serving in one of those quiet places where you could not say that you're a Christian. But when he was back in Canada, he got some emails from someone he believes was a plant from the government in his church, and it said, "We praise the Lord for your work here, and we're so glad that we're having Bible study." And the government screened the email and said, "We're canceling your visa. You are not allowed back in this country." And we thought, "Lord, this was a good ministry. What are you doing? Why would you close the door on this opportunity? We've had the opportunity to put this Christ follower into this quiet place." And then that missionary was asked, would he go instead to meet some of the Chinese believers who were living in Russia? I'm going to show a map here. And you can see right down in this corner especially, this is China here, and Russia, great land that it is. Huge land, 11 time zones across Russia, just to give you an idea of the size there. But especially in these cities right along here, Vladivostok, Khabarovsk is up here, Irkutsk, Krasnoyarsk, Novosibirsk, these places all have Chinese markets. And so we sent this missionary who was in China into Russia to meet with the Chinese merchants. And now I'd like to show you where the churches have been planted among Chinese people in Russia. And we thought God was closing a door. You see, the plans that God has are so much bigger and better than what we could ever imagine. We thought it was opportunity closed, and the Lord was opening something else. We are also finding, just generally speaking of diaspora ministries, that in some cases, and this is a good example, people are accessible to the gospel and more receptive to the gospel when they are not in their homeland and in their home culture. We have church planters in Japan, and we are now assigning church planters to serve Japanese people in the Seattle area. They've emigrated from Japan to the United States, and they are more responsive to the gospel in the United States, speaking in Japanese, subculture of Japan, but they're more responsive to the gospel on the west coast of the United States than they are in Japan. And so we're seeking to understand how these diaspora dynamics, how we can wisely engage. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Okay. Two more quick trends. Emerging movements. This is a picture of a recent training that we had in Manila in the Philippines. The Lord is raising up and sending many more goers from the Philippines than he is from Canada. The Lord is at work, and what used to be a receiving nation, we used to send missionaries there, now they are sending out more missionaries than we do. And so we need to learn what's our place as an organization from North America. This is a graph that shows the blue area shows Western workers in missions, and orange, the majority world, other than the West, so other than Europe, North America, and Australia usually. That makes up the blue. And I put a line on 9999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 sent, and it was about 2003 where we realized in the numbers that there are now more missionaries sent out from the non-Western world than there are from the Western world. We tend to have a bit of an attitude that we know the truth, we will send out missionaries. But friends, we have been happily outnumbered. And we as mission agencies need to learn our place. We have experience and legacy to bring. But how we need to engage with our Filipino brothers and sisters, with our Chinese brothers and sisters, and Korean brothers and sisters, and African and Latin American brothers and sisters as they go out into missions, emerging movements. I miss saying one thing that I'd like to hit the pause and just go back to the diaspora. Remember people living outside their cultures? I didn't want to miss the opportunity to talk about the people who are living here in Canada and have come from unreached places. Places that we might not ever be able to send missionaries to, but they've come to Canada. In our neck of the woods, in the White Oaks area down there in the south, when we're out for a bike ride as a family in the summertime, we are now the visible minority. With hijabs, even burqas, full burqas, as the Muslim women cover themselves. We rode by the baseball diamond there and stopped to watch, but they weren't playing baseball. They were playing cricket. And they were not speaking English. It's Punjab. And when they were on the soccer pitch, they were not speaking English. I'm not sure what that was. Arab. The nations have come to us as well. And I don't want to miss being aware of God's people here in our community that the Lord is bringing the nations to us in the diasporas. Okay, I'm on to the last one, last trend, marketplace and enterprise development. For many years, we have sent out missionaries, and many of them, not all, but many of them have been Bible teachers and preacher types, seminary graduates, which is great, wonderful. But we are also realizing how we need to learn about how to use other avenues. And we have been doing this to a degree, but this is one of the major themes and development in Send Canada. How can we leverage more effectively the talents and skills of people who are not clergy, if I could call it that way, in global missions? A week ago, I sat with a pastor in Manitoba. He's on our board, and we were meeting with a business person. And I said, "Pastor Richard, in an average week, how many hours of influence do you have over your parishioners?" I shouldn't say over, but with. You know what I mean. If you think about Pastor John, how many hours in a week do you engage with Pastor John? And Pastor Richard, in this case, he said, "Well, maybe 2, maybe 3 hours of interaction with parishioners." And across the table to Jake, I said, "Jake, in your business, how many hours in a week do you interact with your employees?" 40, 50. And the lights came on. We want to better understand how to use God's people who may not be clergy to effectively reach the nations. All kinds of creativity here. When we think about businesses, about professions, and opening doors to some of those places that are not accessible to someone who says, "Hi, I'm a pastor." You can't go there. But if you're a business person, you'll set up a business or a school or work in a clinic or help teach children, then all of a sudden doors open. And I mean this morning to throw seed of ideas out to this very church, that you begin to think and wonder, how might it be used? And again, if Send can help just explore, prayerfully think along that line, we'd be glad to. We are seeking to much more effectively do this in the coming days. So those are the five trends talk with you about this morning. I hope it stirred your minds a little bit. Maybe a little bit. The trends: technology, migration, or the movement of people, mercy and justice ministries, emerging movements, new missions movements like the Philippines and South Korea, and marketplace and place enterprise development. I hope that we as God's people can reinvent. An organization that just stays the same will eventually fade away, and as a mission organization, we realize we need to continue to learn and to grow. Would you pray for us, if and when you think of Send, when you see Patrick, that we would be effective in serving the church and in learning? Because we want to do a better job even as the 21st century keeps moving, and not just become a dinosaur. Some mission agencies were just becoming dinosaurs, to be frank. But we need to renew and learn. These are some of the ways that we want to do it. As we finish here, I still have one idea that I'd like to share. Patrick asked me to share this idea in particular, but as senders, I want to make sure that you are thinking about how you can be praying for missions. And to share with you a couple of resources that have been very helpful to me. One is online and one is on paper. So I'm hoping to hit everyone here, online or on paper, okay? The first one I'm going to start with is online. And maybe you've heard of this, joshuaproject.net. I'm sorry, it's lower down there. It's all one word, joshuaproject.net. Have any of you ever heard of this before? It is a website where you can go and look at any country and learn about the people groups in that country and whether they have access to the gospel or not. Green means yes, they have access. Yellow means they have some access. Red means they have little or little or access. Green, yellow, red. And they've color to make it quite easy for us. I'm going to come back to those colors in just a minute, but I want to show you the paper ones too. Paper versions. Operation World Have some of you seen this book before? A few of you, perhaps. Good. This is a book that is, it's dated. It has a date element, and it has an alphabetical element. All the countries of the world are listed alphabetically here. And there's an opportunity to learn about the geography, the people, the economy, the politics, the religion, and prayer requests for that country. So I've flopped open. July 14th is Iran. And it tells you all about Iran. It's basically the paper version of the JoshuaProject.net. So, I wonder if there'd be here somebody this morning. Oh, just a second before I do that. I want to show you that it's not just for grown-ups, but they've made it for kids also. We use this in our home, and it's simplified. Well, there's the world map, but Mongolia. This is the Mongolia page where there's a story about some kids there. The stories come through here, a few photographs, of course. A fact file. Did you know that most Mongolians learn to ride a horse almost as soon as they learn to walk? Each year on the Nadam Festival on July 11th, they can show off their horse riding skills in long races across the steppes. These young jockeys retire by the time they are 12 years old. Mongolia. And the prayer requests over here. So there are the paper versions as well. And I think you ought to have these. I wonder here if there's anyone this morning. We had a picture of the boat people up there. And I'd like to give away this book to someone who remembers the boat people were from what country? Someone's got to put up a hand. I got to see a hand. What country was it?
Vietnam.
You're right. And so what I did last night, let me just click ahead while I walk down here. There's the kids' version. I'm going to put them out on the table if you'd like to have a look at them, okay? Vietnam. 52% Buddhist, 1.8% evangelical. All open Protestant mission work ceased in 1975. Can only be there in marketplace ministry. Average income, $1,024 a year, and a couple of prayer requests, harsh persecution, and leadership training they need to develop. What's your name?
Anne.
Here you go, Anne.
Church library.
Okay, I've got another copy for the church, okay? One's for you. If you've ever got a question about praying for global missions, you need to call Anne. But I have a second copy here that will go in the church library, okay? So that you could come and check it. It has an online version as well. But what I'd like to do right now, if it's okay with you, let's stop and pray for Vietnam. All right, let's pray together. Lord, this morning we quiet our hearts as your people to pray for a faraway place. Vietnam. We pray for the dear people there who are under great stress economically, even that they would get on a boat like this one to try and get away. Father, we pray for the openness of their hearts to receive the good news and that you would send workers there, Father. Lord, that you would raise up people who would go and build relationships with people that they might hear the good news. And Lord, would you draw them to yourself and save people from Vietnam? Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be wise in building bridges through economic relief at times. In other ways, we also pray, Lord, that you would help us to take the gospel through to church planting that might have a spiritual root and that a Vietnamese church would take on strength. There are churches there, and Lord, we pray for your people, few as they are there, that you would encourage their hearts. It will already be late evening in Vietnam now. Lord, would you encourage their hearts today? Your daughters and sons, give them strength and grace. Help them to shine where it's appropriate. Give them wisdom to know when they can speak and when to be quiet. And Lord, we pray that you would save many more for your glory from Vietnam. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I mentioned that Patrick asked for an illustration as we close this morning. I'd like to share one more thing with you, but I want to warn you that it's not a very comfortable thing. I would like to try and illustrate to you the enormity of the remaining task of world missions. Some have said to me at times, "Mags, do we really need to keep doing this? I mean, we've been doing missions for a long time. We've sought to be faithful along the way. We've sent out many of our own. We give. But do we really need to keep doing this? Do we need to keep growing this?" And in fact, we now have new partners. All of those new missionaries from the global south and from the non-Western world, they're going out too, right, Mags? So do we really need to lean into this? Do we need to lean forward into global missions? We're busy right here in London, Byron. And I submit yes, and I would like to illustrate as best I can why. I mentioned yellow and green, green and yellow and red a minute ago, and this is a way of describing the remaining task. This is actually approximately correct, the pie shapes here. From that website that I mentioned, joshuaproject.net, they currently will report on percentages of where the church is established, that's green, where the church has some presence and the gospel is proclaimed, not necessarily received, but can be proclaimed there in yellow, and red being the unreached areas, those parts of the world that still need to hear the gospel. Well, I checked last night, and on my slides, which I just like to put the statistics on the slides that I'm not getting this from just anywhere, so there's the fine print, so to speak, there. But last night, at 8 o'clock exactly, I set my alarm because I knew we'd be here this morning. 8 o'clock last night, the population of the world was estimated to be 7,186,916,515, the population of our planet. And if we apply that over the Joshua Project percentages, they are suggesting that 48% of the world has a church, an established church, that they could go to and hear the good news. That another 11% of the church is in a formative stage and still needs help. But if you do quick math, that leaves 41% of the world's population that is still outside a hearing of the gospel, without access that they know of to the good news. And here I would want to insert just something. You're going to have Jonathan speak next week, right, Jonathan? You're on next week. Transworld Radio puts radio waves out into many of these places, but they don't necessarily know that it's there. And they don't have communities of Christ followers to meet with. There's no church, there's no Awana, there's no kids club. And we need to cooperate to get the good news to them. So, if I take those same three colors and put it over the map, you can see where those countries are. This is something called the 1040 window. You may have heard of it. 10 degrees north latitude and 40 degrees north latitude. This box, this window here, represents 86% of the unreached people on the planet. And when we look at where Western organizations have sent their missionaries to, some of us are going into that window, but many of us are going to other places. And may I say this, it does not mean that we shouldn't help and send missionaries to other places. I simply mean to get the red zone onto our radar. It doesn't mean we shouldn't send anyone to Latin America or to Africa, but I would say if we mean to get the gospel to the people who do not have it, are we talking about the 1040 window? Send, as we pray forward, as we develop this organization, we're going into the 1040 window deliberately. Let me also just mention this. You talk about the easy places to live in the world and the difficult places to live in the world. Which ones are in the red box? The difficult places. The gentleman who wrote that book, Anne, that I gave you, he said, all the easy places have been reached. We need to prayerfully go forward into this. Now, I'd like to do a little bit of math together with you, and then we'll finish. The worship team will come and lead us in just a few minutes. Thanks, guys. The remaining task, I'd like to do just a little bit of math with you. The best statistic that I can find and I worked on it again last night, is that in the world today, there are approximately 630,000 cross-cultural missionaries in the world. That's a lot of missionaries, eh? Now, approximately 420,000 of those are actually foreign workers. They go outside their country. But I thought that we could actually include those people who are ministering cross-culturally within their own country. And that brings us all the way to 630,000 people. And somewhat arbitrarily, and I modeled this on something that Steve Saint, an illustration that Steve Saint built, he said, what if we said each of those missionaries could reach and minister to 500 people? Each one of them could reach 500 people. Some will reach more than 500, some less, but it's somewhat arbitrary. But 500 people is a good, healthy number to which we could minister and share the gospel and see come to Christ. So if we could call that a ministry range, here's my math, that if we took 630,000 missionaries times 500, that would lead to 315 million people. We can reach 315 million people. That's good news, isn't it? Isn't it good news? It's good news. 315 million people. That's, we're getting close to the population of North America. That's a lot of people. And we say, praise the Lord. And if I go back to that pie chart, I'm going to leave that number there and go back to the population at 2 billion people. Of 7.186 billion people means an estimated unreached population of 2,953,000,000 people. And we say, wow. And I say, wow. And I say, wow, numbers. And there's a danger right here at this point that we go, wow, and then we're paralyzed. The number is so big. The job is so big that we just freeze up because we don't know what we could ever do about a number that big. And I immediately want to dispel that and say, don't worry about the big of the number. Be faithful in what God has called you to. What part is God asking Byron Community Church to play in making a difference in the yellow number? But I'm not going to let you go yet. One more, just to finish this illustration off. I've got a length of tape here. I'm going to need someone to help me. Paul, would you come and give me a hand just for a second? This tape, I have measured out very specifically to try and demonstrate. What we're going to do is we're going to stretch this tape across the front of the stage, okay? I'll give you, actually, I'll hold the end and I'm going to give this to you. It unwinds. And what I've done is I've measured out here on this tape, yellow to match the number there. Every foot of this tape represents 18.5 million people. 2 feet represents the population of Canada, approximately. That's the population of Canada. And this tape, the length of this tape, represents the unreached people. So, Paul, would you take that? It's a lint roller, actually. Would you just go across the front of the stage there? Go right across the front there. Oops, sorry. I will just want to try and illustrate the size of the number. This tape is actually, just keep going there. Thanks. If it comes near you, you can put it down beside the chair. It won't, and Paul, just keep going. Thanks. Yeah. It actually is measured exactly. So that when you think of if an inch represents approximately 1.5 million, the population of London and surrounding area would be third of an inch, maybe a half inch. Paul's of, yeah, keep going, Paul.
You'll be done next Sunday when I preach.
Yeah. Okay. How are you doing there? Thanks.
Holy smokes.
Okay, keep going then.
Keep going?
There it is. It wasn't particularly planned. This is 160 feet, measured exactly. That's a million people right there. When people say to me, Mags, do we still need to keep doing this? Is this still important? When you wonder that about giving financially or sending workers, would you remember the yellow tape that wrapped literally around your auditorium? All the way around. Jonathan, will you help me for a second? Thanks, Paul. You can just hang there. Thanks. Just lay it there. Same thing, would you? Just let that roll out. Yeah, thanks. This is the orange tape, and the capacity of the missionary force, 630,000. That's the capacity of all the missionaries we have. So, church, sisters and brothers in Christ, would you continue in global missions? Continue to pray, continue to give, continue to go, that the Lord might receive much glory in Vietnam and in China and in the hard places. Thanks, Jonathan. I'd like to read together, and then we'll close in prayer. The worship team is coming to lead us. I want to read from God's Word, from the book of Romans, chapter 10. This is truth. This is the word of the Lord. Let's read together and we'll pray. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Read together with me. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Let's pray together. Lord, this morning as we think about the nations, there are so many of them, and there are so many people. And we know that you're in control. You are sovereign. You are strong and wise and good, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you're not panicked. But Lord, we see the great need and we are moved. Christ's love compels us as your people. As we think about you, God, your Son, not sparing. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as Canadians, and as people living in Ontario, and as people living in London and in Byron, as people of Byron Community Church, Lord, would you lift our eyes to the nations and help us to stay engaged and to grow our engagement, even to be sacrificial, Lord, that there would be some who would hear the gospel because we gave, because we prayed. Lord, I pray that you would raise up prayers in this church through a book, through a website, through reminding each other. Help us to pray for the nations. And Lord, I pray that you would raise up givers, those who would be generous with the resources you've trusted to us. Even help us, Lord, to be sacrificial, that the gospel might be heard in the quiet places, in the red zone. Pray for the missions committee of the church here, Lord, as they seek to balance the resources that they have and need to make decisions. Help them to be wise. I pray that the church body would be generous toward the missions funding. Lord, I pray that you would raise up people to go, short term, maybe starting with the summer, to see what God is doing, to see what you have going on. Help us to be effective in using our talents, our professions, our expertise, not just the clergy. Lord, would you raise up people to go and people to send? Thank you for the time that we've had together this morning. I pray that you would stir our hearts for your glory. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.